Okay, so welcome to the first episode of Night Rambles, a rambly series where I'm going to be rambling. For our first inaugural episode, I wanted to try something. It was going to be an April Fool's joke last year, but I just actually wanted to record it just for fun. I was going to, for April 1st of 2020, I was going to recount the entire plot of the first Star Wars, A New Hope, as accurately as I could without referencing anything and without seeing it recently. Instead of doing that movie, I'm going to do Harry Potter, the first one, Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone, depending on where you are. So I'm going to recount that movie as well as I can remember, having not seen it for, I think the last time I saw it was Christmas, in passing. So it's been a while. So I'm going to recount it like as best I can, beat for beat. And yeah, we're going to just see how it goes. It's going to probably be a long ramble. So I'm going to be as like intricate in the minutiae of detail as I can be. I will probably get things wrong. I'll probably get plot points wrong. But I will try my best. So here we go. Harry Potter and the Sorcerers and or Philosopher's Stone, narrated by me, with no assistance. I'm going to close my eyes now just so I can like think. All right. So, we start with like a Warner Brothers title card, because obviously Warner Brothers Productions is behind this. So you get like a Warner Brothers title card, push through students' clouds, and then you see like Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Wait, is no, it isn't. Sorry, I lied. You have to start on Privet Drive. Privet Drive first. There's the cat. Dumbledore's like taking the lights away. And they're talking. McGonagall, and McGonagall transfigures into a woman from being a cat, and they walk up to Dumbledore, and they're like, I don't remember the conversation. I'm so sad I don't remember the conversation, but they talk for a bit. And then, I think they talk about Harry in like a kind of circuitous way. And then Hagrid shows up on the motorcycle. He just like comes through the clouds, like sputtering and clunking, and then he lands on the road. And he's like real teary-eyed about giving up the baby. And then they put Harry obviously on the porch. They put the card on him, and then the camera pushes into the scar, I believe, which glows, and then that's when you cut to the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Cool. Flash forward a couple of years later, or more than that, maybe 10? I don't know how old Harry is in the first movie. But he's under the stairs in his cupboard, and there's a pounding upstairs. Dudley's running down the stairs and jumping on the thing to make sure it like rains asbestos or whatever. Harry tries to leave. Dudley runs past him, pushes him back into the cupboard. And then Harry obviously fights his way back out and goes to the kitchen, where he is then making the food as Mr. Dursley is talking about how it's Dudley's birthday and telling Dudley how many presents he has. And then he's like, 37? I had 38 last year, or 39 or something. It's a difference of 2, I believe, in presents, and he's upset about it. So Mr. Dursley says we'll get him more presents, and the plans to go to the zoo, and he says, no funny business from you, to Harry. And then they go in the car and they go to the zoo. And then at the zoo, they're looking at a python, all of them, and Dudley's banging on the glass trying to like make it move, but then Harry's like, it's sleeping. And then Dudley says something mean about the snake and walks off with the rest of the family. And then Harry obviously goes into like that whole dialogue with the snake. He's like, I'm so sorry for my cousin. It must be hard being so far away from home. And then he like points to the thing. Is that your home? Like to Amazon or something? And the snake nods. He's like, you can understand me. And then the snake is like nodding again. And then Dudley runs over and pushes Harry out of the way. He's like, look, Daddy, the snake is moving. And then Harry looks at the glass, and the glass disappears, and Dudley falls face first into the water. And then the anaconda, or Burmese, I think it's a Burmese python, leaves the enclosure and says, thanks very much. And then slithers away. Which is terrifying, but it's fine. Because then when Dudley stands up again, the glass has reappeared, and he's now trapped inside of a snake enclosure. And Harry laughs, and Mr. Dursley does not. So they cut to them coming home. Mr. Dursley is holding Harry by, like, the scruff of his neck and is about to throw him under the cupboard, and he's like, "The glass was there one moment, and then it was gone the next. It was like magic." And then Mr. Dursley says, "There's no such thing as magic," and then shoves him into the closet, which is terrible. And then I guess it cuts forward to Harry receiving the mail. And he's bringing the mail to the family, and he's going through it one by one by one. And he finds that he has a letter, so he keeps it, gives the rest to Mr. Dursley. As he sits down, about to open his letter, Dudley sees Harry with the letter and goes, "Harry stole the letter." And he's like, "No, we didn't. It's mine." And then Mr. Dursley takes the letter and goes, "Who would write mail to you?" And he looks at it, and everyone's like, "Oh!" And then he confiscates the letter. And then we go into, like, a montage of more letters subsequently coming. Mr. Dursley's getting more and more crazy about it. He's like, screwing the mailbox closed, and he's doing all sorts of things to keep these letters out of the house. As this is occurring, more and more owls are showing up, which is strange, being nocturnal, and most of these scenes are occurring during the day. Sunday. It's Sunday is the day that the scene takes place, because Mr. Dursley goes, "Right you are, Harry. The post doesn't come on Sundays," because they're in the living room talking. Harry's, like, handing out cookies, I think. In most of these scenes with the Dursleys, Harry's is basically just, like, an indentured servant. He's doing all the housework, and they treat him very terribly. And the Dursleys are awful. But anyway, I digress. So Harry's handing out cookies, I think, and there's, like, a low rumbling, and then John Williams', like, wonderful score starts building, and the theme of the movie just starts lifting as letters start flying in through the fireplace, and then ripping the letter holder off from the mailbox, or from the mail slot. Letters are just firing in there, like, from a machine gun, and Harry is just, like, on a table trying to grab money for some reason, although there's millions of letters on the ground. Harry, just get any of them, but it's fine. He grabs one from the sky, thematically, and then runs over to his cupboard, and he tries to get in it, and Mr. Dursley grabs him and holds him, and he goes, "I'm opening the letter," and he goes, "No, we're getting far from here, far, far away," and then Dudley goes, "Daddy's snapped, hasn't he?" And then Aunt Petunia just kind of, like, nods, horrified. I don't know why I call him Mr. Dursley. He's... God, what is his name? Is he Mr. Dursley? Okay, either way, it's fine. Cut to the Isle of Man, maybe? I don't know. There's somewhere in the North Sea on what is the smallest and most dangerous island I can't possibly imagine getting to. In this like, cabin with a loft. Harry obviously is sleeping on the floor. Dudley has the couch. There's a sole fireplace. Harry is carving in the dirt floor his birthday cake, which he blows out, making a wish. And as soon as he does that, the door just gets ripped off the hinges by Hagrid, who just stumbles in there as thunder booms and everyone's, like, real afraid. And he puts the door back and goes, "Sorry about that." And then some hijinks occurs, like Hagrid mixes up Dudley for Harry, and he's like, "Of course you're not, of course you are." And then he's like, "I got this for you," and he gives him the cake that he sat on, his sat cake. And then I think he sits down and, like, uses magic on the fireplace, and then Harry goes, and then he gives him, Harry obviously, the letter, and he goes, "Dear Mr. Potter, I'm proud to inform you that you've been accepted into Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry." And he goes, "A wizard?" He's like, "You're a wizard, Harry." "I'm a what? No, I'm just Harry." And then, the Dursleys, earlier on in the scene, the Dursleys came down wielding a shotgun, and Hagrid pointed it up, only for Mr. Dursley to fire into the roof. After being called a muggle, too, he goes, "I bet a big, great big muggle like yourself is going to do something about it." And then Harry goes, "A what?" And he goes, "A muggle, a non-magic folk." Okay. Where are we in the scene? So all that happened. Oh, yeah, he said, "My parents are in a car crash. A car crash killed Lillian James Potter. It's an outrage. It's a scandal. We have to tell the boy something." And then, I love that Petunia line. "We have to tell the boy something." And, oh yeah, Petunia had her little monologue. She's like, "My parents were so proud. We have a witch in the family." But I was the only one who see her for what she really was. A freak. The way she says freak with so much, like, indignation and anger. So yeah, while that happens and they're outraged, Dudley's eating the cake, so Hagrid gives Dudley his pigtail. And basically offers Harry a way out, and he goes, well, you can come with me if you want. Just Harry. So they bounce and end up in London, where Harry is now reading, like, the list of school supplies he has to go through, and it's, like, crazy stuff. Like, he's like, a cauldron, and, can we get all this in London? And then Hagrid goes, if you know where to look. And then they go to Leaky Cauldron, and as they're walking in, he's just like, I'm just taking young Mr. Potter to get his school supplies. And everyone's like, my God, Mr. Harry Potter. And every single person in the establishment has to take time out of their day to go and greet him. He goes, something, something. It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Potter. It's truly a pleasure. And then there's like, everyone. That handshake scene always makes me, like, crack up. And then they run to Quirrell, who's like, I'm Professor Quirrell. And then Quirrell obviously talks about, you doesn't seem like you need lessons from me, because obviously it's dark arts and Harry's killed Voldemort, so obviously it's that. That already happened. The innkeeper asking Hagrid if he wants a room, because that's what leads him to say, oh, you know, I'm with Mr. Potter. So he goes up to that wall of brick and goes boop, boop, boopity boop. And then the door opens and Diagon Alley. And then you have the like upbeat da 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 da, which is, again, brilliant John Williams score. Amazing. As they kind of montage through the alley, you kind of see a bunch of things. And then those three kids in front of the Nimbus 2000, and then they go, it's the Nimbus 2000. It's the fastest broom ever. Or fastest model ever. One of the two. And he goes, but Hagrid, I haven't any money to buy this stuff. Well, Gringotts, Harry. Ain't no safer place. Except Hogwarts, that is. And so they go to Gringotts, and then they start walking in, and Harry's like real afraid because he sees the goblins. He goes, Hagrid, what are those goblins, Harry? Clever as they come, goblins. But they're not the nicest of fellows, so I recommend you stick close. And then he goes up to the front, and he talks to Warwick Davis. Is it Warwick Davis? Warwick Davis is Grimmel Wormtongue. Maybe Warwick Davis was in this movie? I don't recall. It may or may not be Warwick Davis. But either way, this goblin basically asks for, does Mr. Harry Potter have his key? And Hagrid, oh, right here, and gives it to him. And then he also hands him the, I need to pick up a package from Vault You Know Where for You Know Whom. And then he goes, yes, certainly, of course. So they go down into the vaults, and he goes, Vault 642 or whatever. And Hagrid opens the vault, and there's like a single package, and he like picks it up, and he goes, best not tell anyone about that. Pats himself. And then they go to Hagrid, or Harry's vault. There's so many H names. They go to Harry's vault, and it is just loaded. It is like Scrooge McDuck levels of money in there. And so, yeah, Harry's just he can pay for his school supplies now. So, they leave, and he's like, oh, I got most of my stuff. All I need now is a wand. All right, you go off and do that. I have to get something while you're doing that, says Hagrid. So Harry goes into Ollivander's, while Hagrid is obviously going off to get Hedwig, which at the end of that scene, I think he holds up Hedwig to the window after Harry selects the wand. So he goes in, and then Ollivander's there, and he goes, oh, I was wondering when you'd be in here, Mr. Potter. And they start picking wands. Harry obviously destroys a bunch of stuff with all the wrong wands. Like, he blows up the vase, he throws the wands off the wall. It's real destructive. It seems like they need a firing range or something for that. But at the end, he goes, I wonder, and he pulls out a wand and gives it to him. And as soon as he does, it all of a sudden, like, glows. And it makes you wonder, why were they flicking the wand in the first place? Because if it was just going to glow like that, he didn't even flick the wand. Man, just hand them the wand, let them hold it, and if it glows, then that's the wand. Stop destroying your shop, Ollivander. I mean, I know you have magic, so you can, like, undo it really easily, but that's no excuse to just have a messy shop. Anyway, so he holds the wand, it glows, he has the wand, and he goes, curious. He's like, why is it curious? And Ollivander goes, The phoenix rarely gives two feathers, but this wand has a brother, and his brother gave you that scar. And then Hagrid shows up with Hedwig. And that is basically the first act, because after that they end up in King's Cross, where he goes, here's your ticket. Follow the instructions. Follow the letter of the ticket. And then he goes, all right, 9 3/4. But Hagrid, there isn't any platform 9 3/4. Hagrid? And Hagrid disappears like he's Batman. Just 1 second he's there, next second he's gone. Is he allowed to apparate? I don't think he is. So where did Hagrid go? Did he just, like, run off? I ask myself that question. Where did Hagrid go? Did he run away? I'm not sure. But that's fine. So that happens. Harry goes down, walks up to one of those train attendants? I'm not sure what his... Is he a conductor? I don't think he's a conductor. I'm not sure. He might be a conductor. He's a train person. He walks up to this train person and asks about 9 3/4. He's like, oh, you're having a laugh, are you? And then Harry's like, no, I'm being genuine. Please help me. And he hears Mrs. Weasley talking about muggles. Oh, it's always busy with muggles. And so Harry follows them. And then she goes, oh, is it your first time, dear? It's Ron's first time, too. And then after, like, Percy and Fred and George make the really... They mess with their mom. He goes, you can't even tell us apart. And you like to pretend to call us our mother. And then he goes, only kidding. I'm Fred, and I'm George. And they run through. So Harry and Ron obviously go through. And as they cross the threshold, they're greeted by the Hogwarts Express and another magical, just lifting score from John Williams. And then they board the train, and they just sit down, they kind of just talk, I'm Ron Weasley, and then, you know, the cart shows up, and Ron's like, I just have the sandwich back, and Harry goes, nope, we'll take the lot, and just drops just mad stacks and buys the whole cart of candy for just them two. And they're like, you know, doing wizarding stuff like chocolate frogs. Birdie bots every flavor beans. He's like, oh, I got a bogey flavor once. Ew. He puts it down. And then he opens the chocolate frog. He's like, is it a real frog? No, it's only enchanted. And then it hops. And he's like, oh, darn. It only has one good hop. He's like, I got a Dumbledore. I got loads of him. He's gone. And he's like, you can't expect him to stick around forever. And then Hermione shows up. He's like, I've been looking for a toad for a boy named Neville. Have you seen it? Oh, as Ron's about to do magic, he's about to do a spell on Scabbers, you know. Dun, 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 turn the stupid rat yellow or something. And then Hermione goes, are you sure that's a real spell? Because it doesn't sound like it to me. And then she goes, I've been practicing. All the spells I practice have been successful, but I've only done simple ones. For example, Oculus Reparo. And he goes, that's better, isn't it? Oh my god, you're Harry Potter, Hermione Granger, and you are... and then he goes, Ron Weasley, as he's, like, eating a bunch of stuff. She goes, charmed. Well, I better go sit down. We're almost there. By the way, you have a little bit of dirt just right there, in case you hadn't noticed. Then she walks off. And then they arrive at Hogwarts, which I think is a good stopping point, because we've basically we've gotten the first act of Harry Potter. So I think when we return, we're going to start in Act 2, and hopefully... So this is probably going to be 3 parts of Rambles. But I think I did a good job for the first act. Let me know if I missed some stuff. I probably did. But it's fun. I love recounting movies from memory. It's kind of a professional hobby of mine. Is being able to be like, oh, okay, I know this movie beat for beat. Because in this line of work, it tends to be a useful thing. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. And let me know if you want more of these Rambles. Because... I would really like to make it a series if people are interested.